This is Joe Callis, formerly of the Human League and the Rosillos, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you have tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. This morning, we're going to hear from congressional candidate Radoslav Rahr, who is challenging Paul Tomko in the Democratic primary election for the 20th congressional district seat, August 23rd election. We will also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesiff Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesiff Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Oak Pizzeria Napolitana in Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Common Council last week adopted a local law that would allow city officials to attend meetings virtually when necessary. The law was approved unanimously. It permits the members of all city boards to attend via video conference technology as long as a quorum of members is present in person and they cannot attend physically due to, quote, extraordinary circumstances, including illness, disability, quarantine, orders, death of a family member, or an unexpected factor. The change to the city code was made after the state legislature amended the open meetings law as part of the 2022-2023 budget bills. That amendment gave municipalities the discretion to use video conferencing when local governments determined it is necessary. The city code did not previously address virtual meeting policies. quote, is just sort of acknowledging that during the pandemic, municipalities discovered ways of opening up meetings to a wider audience, unquote, Common Council President Tom DiPietro said. And the council should identify the video platform most accommodating to users with disabilities or impairments, DiPietro said. Quote, the tech committee has a number of things on their agenda, and that should be one of them, assessing options other than Zoom and figuring out visual impairment ADA compliance, unquote, he said. Note, DiPietro is an active WGXC on-air volunteer programmer. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Daily Freeman reports that gas prices fell in the Hudson Valley for the sixth week in a row, according to GasBuddy.com. In Columbia and Greene counties, prices dropped 9 cents in the past week to $4.62 a gallon in Greene County and to $4.49 in Columbia County. In Ulster County, prices fell 15 cents to $4.40. Across the state, the average price of gas was $4.54 a gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, and I quote, gas prices continue falling coast to coast, with the national average last week declining for the sixth straight week, or 40 days in a row. The national average is down now an astounding 70 cents in that time frame. I have no reason yet to expect the decline won't reach 7 straight weeks, as gas stations still have plenty of room to decline as oil prices remain under $100 a barrel, end quote. DeHaan warned that increased hurricane activity could drive prices back up this summer. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that investigators are looking into the cause of a fire that broke out the afternoon of July 24th at Chrissy and Tim's Diner in Coxsackie. Firefighters were called out around 5 p.m. for a report of a structure fire at the restaurant located in the plaza at the corner of State Route 9W and Mansion Street. When the first crews arrived at the scene, smoke and flames were visible. Fire departments from Greene, Albany, and Columbia counties responded and had the fire under control by 30 minutes. The blaze was kept under control, preventing it from spreading to other businesses in the plaza. But Coxsackie Fire Chief Sean Burdick said Chrissy and Tim sustained significant interior damage. The restaurant serves until noon on Sunday and had been closed for a number of hours when the fire broke out. No one was injured, Burdick said. The Greene County Fire Investigation Team is looking into the cause of the fire. Chrissy and Tim's announced that evening on Facebook that due to the fire and, quote, lots of damage, unquote, the diner will be closed until further notice. Quote, our hearts are broken, unquote, they wrote. Read more about the story at porcupinesoup.com.
Maria Perazzo Rose reports for New York Focus that weeks ago, the program to help low-income New Yorkers stay cool ran out of money and stopped taking new applicants. Now the state is faced with a major heat wave without those in need able to access the Heat Energy Assistance Program's Cooling Assistance Program. A spokesperson for the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance said, and I quote, New York State does not currently have the resources to expand cooling assistance to include a billing assistance component, end quote. The program's budget was increased this year from $15 million to a record $23 million, but still ran out before the heat arrived. State officials said the program has never shut down this early. That may be in part because New York eliminated a requirement this year that applicants show medical need. The story says that heat has killed more Americans than all other weather-related disasters combined over the last three decades. A July 2019 heat wave sent nearly 1,200 New Yorkers to an emergency room. Kara Pospisil, a commissioner at Greene County Department of Social Services, who works on the Heat Block Grant Advisory Council, said New York spends more money fighting off the cold rather than extreme heat. She said, and I quote, you have to pay for many more months of heat, and we can't have people freeze, end quote. Read more about this story at New York Focus.
Tony Dobrowski is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that the Berkshire Museum in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, has hired a new executive director with experience at museums in California and Texas. Kimberly Bush Tamio was named the museum's new leader by the Board of Trustees on July 25th. She will join the museum at the end of August. Tomio succeeds Jeff Rogers, who left last September after serving as the museum's executive director for 2.5 years, overseeing a $3.5 million renovation project. For the past 10 years, Tomio was the director of museum services at the Asian Art Museum in San Francisco. Her previous experience included director of the Tyler Museum of Art in Tyler, Texas, and the registrar, collections manager, and associate director of collections and museum operations at the Dallas Museum of Art. Tomio holds degrees from Texas A&M and Johns Hopkins University. Tomio could not be reached for comment, but in a statement she said she looks forward to leading the 119-year-old Berkshire Museum, quote, "I am honored to have been selected to lead one of the most remarkable museums of its kind in the country," unquote, she wrote. Read more about the story at the Berkshire Eagle.
Kathleen Moore is reporting for the Times Union that Columbia Green College is offering 2 cannabis classes this fall as sales of recreation cannabis begin. One set of 3 classes will be about selling cannabis at a dispensary and the other about growing cannabis. Anyone signing up for the online class must be at least 21 years old. Learning to sell cannabis is a bit more complicated than it may seem. Bud tenders, as they are called, are not allowed to promise any sort of effect and must be careful about what they say. Associate Professor Mayor Green, the college's cannabis program advisor, said, and I quote, "What they can do is talk about how the flower, how the bud, has this percent of CBD, this percent of THC. They can talk about the terpene profile. Terpenes are what give the flavor and smell," end quote. For the cultivation course, the college is talking with local growers about internships. The cultivation course looks at growing, harvesting, extracting, cooking, edible chefs, and other issues. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And on Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 85 degrees. And Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mainly between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 65 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
On Tuesday, July 26, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 11 a.m., it's time for the Early Electro Mix Show, which features early electronic music composers, and this week we'll hear from Rune Lindblad, Ray Cathode, and Dick Jacobs, among others. Then at noon, it's time for Rob Saffer's Overlooked program, live from under Overlooked Mountain in Woodstock in Ulster County. And this week he's taking a listen to the work of Philip Perlman, an obscure pioneer in psychedelic folk music. At 2 p.m., we dig into the sound of worms, and at 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, this week featuring works from Kate Donovan, Steve Roden, the band Spiritualized, and the band Glove. At 7 p.m., it's time to dim the lights with Jenny and Amanda, as Amanda Lees and Jenny Getty talk about the latest movies and movie theater experiences and more. And Michael Wilde is live from Hudson with Genies in the Vinyl at 8 p.m., and Dan Seward beams in from somewhere in Columbia County at 10 p.m. on the Battlefield Earth program at 90.7 WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event
at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
How much does community radio mean to you? For me, it's one of the precious few ways to give something back. And if you like Mostly Singles, you know what that means. So here's an opportunity for you to participate. Become a sustaining supporter today at WGXC.org and click donate. We do radio together.
Field recordings, found sound, soundscapes, ambience.
Bells, bugs,
whispers, and plinks.
Hosted by
Stephen Bradley
and Edward Rahelstreet.
Every fifth Tuesday of the month from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Bells, bugs, whispers, and plinks.
On WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, July 26. 55 degrees in Windham and 62 degrees in Kingston early this morning. Soil has dipped a little bit to now 69 degrees on average for the region. We're going to have weather that is mostly sunny today with a high of 83 at 4 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 55 degrees, giving us another nice night of sleeping temperatures. Tomorrow, clear and dry again with a high of 86. Overnight, it starts getting muggy and we see a low of 66 degrees. Thursday will be rainy with a stormy afternoon. 67 degrees overnight takes us into a Friday with a chance for more rain and a high of 85. Pollen levels for today will be medium and we'll be hanging out there for the rest of the week. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:08 a.m., then low tide at 8:54 a.m., then high tide at 2:41 p.m., and low tide, once again, at 8:45 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 78 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:08 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:39 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are pretty calm with a 55% chance of C-class flares today. Solar wind speed is currently 429 kilometers per second at 0.68 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 100, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And we are once again asking for your financial support. And if you wish to help out at our local radio station, just head on over to WGXC.org and click on Donate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ellen Donovan of Medusa, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
We'll be right back. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
The President and I take seriously our work protecting the health, the safety, and the well-being of the women of America, and that includes the women of Indiana.
Vice President Kamala Harris visited Indiana to drum up opposition against a proposed abortion ban in the state. The measure would outlaw nearly all abortions, except in cases of rape, incest, or to save the life of the pregnant person. Republicans hold the governor's seat and a supermajority in the Indiana General Assembly, so it's all but certain the ban will pass. State Representative Cherish Pryor, an Indianapolis Democrat, says the measure could have adverse effects on the state's maternal mortality rate.
Since abortion is a medical procedure, it should be a decision a woman makes for herself and not a General Assembly of mostly men who are clueless about what women have to go through.
President Joe Biden is continuing his recovery from COVID-19. The president held a virtual roundtable discussion with CEOs and labor leaders Monday to tout the $52 billion CHIPS Act, which aims to incentivize semiconductor developers to build new factories in America.
I think we're a heck of a lot stronger as an economy and more sustainable when we build from the bottom up and the middle out, because when that happens, everyone does well. And this CHIPS bill is an important piece of it.
A procedural vote on the CHIPS Act was set for yesterday, but was delayed due to severe thunderstorms. The Hill reports Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer hopes to schedule a final vote on the bill tomorrow. President Biden isn't the only one quarantining with COVID, as West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has also tested positive for the virus. Politico reports Manchin's absence from Capitol Hill could create some tension as Democrats try to wrap up several critical bills before the August recess. Manchin is one of the swing votes necessary to get his party's priorities through the evenly split Senate. The U.S. State Department is condemning the execution of four pro-democracy activists in Myanmar. The BBC reports the four were killed for alleged terrorist acts in what may be the country's first case of capital punishment in decades. Speaking to reporters, State Department spokesperson Ned Price said the U.S. is calling on other nations to join the U.S. in condemning the executions.
These heinous acts of violence demonstrate the regime's brutality in a new and horrible light, and we remain concerned it also reflects an ongoing disregard for the human rights and rule of law.
The democratically elected government of Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, was overthrown and replaced with a military junta last year. After a summer surge, gas prices are continuing to trend downward. The Associated Press reports the average cost for a gallon of gas fell by 32 cents over the past 2 weeks, down to about $4.50 a gallon, which is still an average of $1.32 more than it was this time last year. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. As we noted yesterday, a reform for the Electoral Count Act introduced last week in the U.S. Senate clarifies that the governor must appoint the slate of presidential electors. But how does this new proposal protect against, theoretically speaking, of course, a governor who is an election denier? An analysis in the online journal Lawfare, written by former Obama White House counsel Bob Bauer and Harvard Law School professor Jack Goldsmith, argues that the reform does include additional safeguards. It takes out the vague responsibilities in the 1887 rules about a, quote, executive of state, and clarifies it to be the governor or the official responsible for the state's elections. The governor must follow state laws enacted before the election, and now he or she must complete the certification 6 days before the Electoral College. Bauer and Goldsmith also say that the reform bill establishes a path for the courts, first state and then federal, should a rogue governor or chief election officer stray from the rules. It also specifies that this judicial remedy should be expedited so as to not slow down the Electoral College process. While there are criticisms that the reforms could be stronger in some areas of the Electoral Count Reform Act, Bauer, Goldsmith, and the majority of other scholars praise the bipartisan bill and say it would make our elections more resistant to bad actors. Check out more articles on the Electoral Count Reform Act at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Thank you.
The satellite is plain, twisted in a grain. Sundays on the canyon floor. But I can hear you loud and clear through the static and the beam and the squelch.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Rostislav Rahr, welcome back to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you so much, Blaze. It's a real pleasure to be here again.
The pleasure's mine. Give us a sense of who you are and how you got to this point of wanting to run for Congress.
Well, I'm a nonprofit attorney. I primarily do immigration law, although I also am involved in other types of law. I'm a former legislative aide in the New York State Assembly. I'm also an immigrant from Siberia, from Russia. My family came to the United States in part because of political issues, political prosecution. My grandfather was a founder of a Democratic club in his hometown in Novosibirsk. My mom ran an interview show, which was shut down by the KGB. So I guess it's a little bit in my blood to stand up to authority, to try to stand up to power. After going to law school, COVID happened. And I saw our president at the time, Donald Trump, you know, being perhaps the worst kind of leader that I could imagine. And that really motivated me to get off my couch and try to do something about it. And I decided that running for Congress and trying to change the system so that people like Donald Trump could never come to power in this country would be the right thing to do. And I did some research about my congressional representative, Paul Tonko. I saw that he had a lot of really questionable things that he's done on different issues. And I thought that he would be the right person to run against. I think one more thing I will say about my background, though, is that after leaving Siberia, my family had traveled a lot, went to different countries. I lived in Japan for 3 years, in Germany for a year. The first state I came to when I was 9 years old was Alabama. And then we went to Tennessee, and only then we made it up to upstate New York. So I've throughout my life, you know, I've been, you know, in a minority when I was, you know, in Japan, and I was in a country where, you know, I was like one of the very few white people. Also, you know, have seen some very different sorts of, you know, racism that exists in the American South. But no matter where I went, you know, I really try to keep an open mind, engage people on their own terms. I think that's very much a part of my background. I think that's one of the way that you can look really at my politics is it's a politics that tries to be really inclusive, that tries to find the best in every culture, and that tries to put it all together into something that can help us through these really dark times ahead, especially with climate change and things like that.
So you have an attorney background. That's what you do. How do you deal with people who may not see things your way, and or how do you persuade them to see things your way?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I listen. That's the most important thing. Is first you have to listen. You know, and I try to really do it. Really try to take in what someone is saying and try to understand it without judging. I try to make a calculation. You know, is it worth trying to persuade this person if they say something like very blatantly racist, for example, I will often be very staunch and I'll say, you know, that's just not right. But in some other cases, you know, maybe it's really not worth trying to persuade someone. But I think that education is actually perhaps the most important thing we can do. In this country, we have a system which privileges money over the voice of the people. We say it's a country where it's one person, one vote, but in reality, well-funded interests tend to run our elections. And so to fight back against that, we really have to do the sort of work that you're describing, which is engage people, listen to them, try to convince them of the reality of the fact, you know. And oftentimes it's really difficult work. But I think that unless we lay that groundwork, we will never see political change. Because as long as we can't agree on the facts, political change can't happen.
Rostislav Rahr with me, Blaze Bryant, here on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. You mentioned just before we started recording that people are just starting to take you seriously, in part because your largest campaign donation has been $200. How do you get beyond that organic reach, which only gets you so far? And what do you feel needs to be done? Do your best to answer this in about 3 minutes, if you can, to change that.
Yes. So the idea, so like the last thing I was saying, right, is that we live in a country which says one person, one vote, but it really privileges money over the voice of the people. And the idea with this campaign was to try to show that we can overcome that barrier, that we can build a volunteer-led campaign that is not dominated by money and large fundraising and still beat an establishment candidate. And so how do we do it? You know, I started off by just going and talking to people on the street, asking them about their issues, asking them if they would want to be involved in the campaign. And I built a volunteer team that didn't cost any money, right? So throughout this campaign, we've at this point had over 50 people that have contributed their time, not their money, in one way or another. And my thought was that maybe we could build a campaign around volunteers. Now, I realized with time that it is quite difficult because, you know, that there are few things that can substitute for expertise. And so I did have to, try to find people, for example, with some social media expertise or get advice from experts on other things. But overall, it's kind of an experiment, right? It's like, can you do this? But I believe that if we cannot do this, let's say that we just accept the conventional wisdom. We accept the conventional wisdom that whoever has more money will win, generally, on average. And if we accept that wisdom, then the voice of the people will never overcome the voice of the people with money. Because every time you fill up your gas tank, a little bit of that money is going to go to a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., who's going to push people like Paul Tonko, the chair of the Subcommittee on the Environment, to vote against the Green New Deal. Every time you turn on your lights and that energy comes from a coal power plant, that same thing is going to happen, right? So you might, give $10 to the politicians of your choice, but every day you're giving perhaps hundreds of dollars to people who are actively going to lobby against the things that are the right things to do for the environment. So unless we find a way that we can energize people and make them realize what their duty as citizens is, we're not going to be able to stand up to well-moneyed interest.
So essentially what you're saying here in about 45 seconds that we have left here in this segment is we need campaign finance reform yesterday.
Yes. And it is doable. You know, New York City has had campaign finance reform at the local level for a while. So I think, even people in government realize that it is the right thing to do. And I think there might be opportunities for doing that. And other countries in the world have done. So there's no reason to believe that we can't have that here.
Absolutely. RAR4Congress.com for more information. And next time, Rostislav RAR, let's talk about the environment and equality.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Rostislav RAR, in part two of our conversation, great to have you back. Let's talk about the environment, where you left off yesterday.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Yes. So as far as the environment is concerned, this is our number one issue for this campaign. Our slogan is environment, equality, education. Environment for us comes first. You know, we have an existential threat of climate change. And a lot of politicians, Paul Tonko included, pay lip service to that reality, but they do not take action in order to prevent it. So take our opponent, Paul Tonko, for example. He's voted against the Green New Deal on three separate occasions. And at the same time, he likes to say that he supports the Green New Deal in principle. This is an excellent example of, the establishment's hypocrisy. They say one thing and then they do the other. And at the same time, he takes money from, corporate PACs and oil and gas industry, et cetera. So essentially, you know, it's kind of useless. You have to really read the person's actions and not so much their words.
For sure. But, so you would never take money from those PACs, and you think that supporting something in principle as a concept and actually not voting on it, in your view, those are two different things?
Yeah. I would, first of all, never take money from any sort of oil or gas industry or coal industry, or I would hesitate to take money from any lobbyists, for that matter. Technically, I guess, if you say I support something in principle and then you vote for it, it's not a lie, but it is, it feels a bit disingenuous, because essentially, you know, when I walk around this community and I talk to people, they all say, oh, Paul Tonko, he's great on the environment. And I'm like, well, why is he great? And they're like, well, we don't know what he's done or what he does, but, you know, we think he's good. He says the right things. And so, you know, it's kind of like when politicians, they say something because they want people to vote for them, but they also want to have the money from the industry in order to scare away people like myself who might want to run against them. They kind of have to speak out of both sides of their mouth. And that's what people like Paul Tonko do all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean this as a cynical question, but what would make you different? I mean, I've heard, and anyone who's listening has heard the narrative that I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to act that way. What makes you different?
Well, what makes me different is a few things. First of all, I think we're from different generations. You know, Paul Tonko spent 39 years in office now. When you've spent that long in office, and by the way, when he came into office, you know, the term climate change wasn't even a thing that people used, right? So throughout the time that you're in government, it becomes normalized. It becomes like, okay, yeah, I'll take money from this person. It's not going to affect my judgment on this specific thing. But it does, and I've seen it, because I was in the assembly. I've seen politicians walk out of meetings with lobbyists and say, how much money is that person giving me? You know, that's sort of blatant, I don't even know what to call it, but you're really taking public trust and you're throwing it in the dumpster when you do that. And I think pretty much all establishment politicians do it. When you take money from these interests, it's never not going to influence your decision making. I pledge not to take money from those interests. And so, you know, when I say, you know, that our average contribution is, I think right now it's like $78 for this month, it's like average of $17. That's the people we're representing. We're representing the people who can afford to only give us that much money, right? That's really our base.
Which ties perfectly, Rostislav Rar, that ties perfectly into equity, doesn't it?
Yes. Thank you so much. So equity, or I should say equality, is the second part of our platform, environment, equality, education. So equality is all about asking the difficult questions. We have different people in this country treated so differently based on the color of their skin, their sexual orientation, on their class status, their income. It's really kind of astounding. So even in the course of this campaign, you know, I grew up in, not my whole life, but in high school, I went to Niskayuna. And throughout this campaign, I've also spent a lot of time in like places like Arbor Hill, et cetera. And just even the way that the cops treat you so differently in these two places is very, very striking. So we have to ask difficult questions. For example, how come when we are building a toxic dump site, we're so much more likely to build it in a poor area of town as opposed to a wealthier area of town? How come our kids in poor communities of color getting so much less money for their education than kids like myself who went to Niskayuna High School. How come we have trees in wealthier suburban areas planted and maintained, but we cut down those trees for, you know, crime prevention in communities of color and poor communities? So we have to ask those questions. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is we have to address them. So we do it through policy, right? So first thing first, how do we pay for all of our policies? We create a wealth tax. I support the Bernie Sanders proposal. We would tax the wealth of people who have more than $30 million at 1% and tax the wealth of billionaires at who have more than $10 billion to up to 8% of their net worth annually. That would create enough money to pay for any kind of policies that we would want to enact, including equalizing school funding, making sure that all kids have the same resources, making sure there are no food deserts, that no matter where people live, that they have access to affordable produce, making sure that they have access to green space that is easy to get to. Any kind of issue that has a dimension of equality in it can be addressed. So that's really, you know, that's really the basis of our platform is how do we make a more equal society?
What else would you like to add in about a minute and a half that we haven't mentioned yet?
Okay, so I'll just give you an update on where we are and where we're going. So as I've said repeatedly, you know, our campaign is going to be vastly outspent by Paul Tonko. So we really have to count on the passion and courage of volunteers. So if people want to help, there's so many things you can do. First of all, you can just tell people about us. You can remind people that there's an election going on August 23rd. In this election, you know, only about 10% of voters in off-year primaries actually go out and vote in New York. So in this election, it might be even less than that. So your vote really matters. So really, please take the time to vote. Even if you choose to vote against us, go out and vote. It's important to vote. And remind people to vote. Remind people to participate. And if you'd like to help, you know, we're going to be out. We're going to be handing out flyers. We're going to be hanging up flyers. We're going to be live streaming our canvassing on Instagram and TikTok. So tune into that. We're really trying to leverage social media as part of this campaign to overcome some of those funding barriers. You know, donate $5 to our campaign. Whatever you can do, we can use the help. So, yes, thank you for listening.
Well, Rostislav Rar, thank you very much. Rar for Congress, that's RAR, the word for, FOR, congress.com for more information and to get involved. Rostislav Rar, what an absolute delight to have you here on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Blaze. It was an incredible pleasure.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I've been to Truckers, go to Hudson, just to check the sights and see people up here from the city in their newest ways to be. Guys are strolling on their eyes, ladies strolling down the street, wonder, borrow beer and whiskey, work our way down Warren Street. Spotty Dog is books and art supplies, that's where you find me at the bar. The pints, they hit you like a hammer, leave the place, forget just where you are.
bump my way up to the bar. Won't you make me something special? Can't seem to make this whole thing start. Just who we are. How I wish I was driving those back roads beneath